Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
So if you have a Bible, we're going to be in the book of Revelation 3, verses 1 through 6. We're going to continue in this sermon series called Listen. And this book is written by John. And basically, John has his vision from Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and he begins to speak to him about these churches and about the significance of these churches. And if these churches don't listen to what Jesus is speaking, that he's going to come and turn the lights off, and they're no longer going to be used by God. And so the fear of the Lord is running rampant. As you can see, these last couple of weeks, certain churches have some significant things that they need to change. And today in Revelations 3, 1 through 6, we're going to be talking about the church in Sardis. Sardis. Now, Sardis was a very significant city. Sardis was military pomp and stance. They were known for being a city set on a hill, and it was hard to get inside of the four walls of their city because of how it was set up on the Acropolis. And people were amazed by this place because, man, nobody could ever penetrate it. It was also known for its production of clothing, a certain type of wool, and so it was very wealthy as well. And in its heyday, Sardis was the city of cities, and people wanted to live there. And Sardis not only had that going on, but it also was known by the Roman Empire, and they wanted to dedicate a statue to Caesar and resurrect it. And so they were the church that had it going on. They were the it thing. But the one thing about this church that you're going to have to understand is this, is that you can have all these things and look good on the outside, but on the inside be dead. This church was also drawn to paganism. And they had what they called the necropolis. And what this is hills, thousands of cemeteries across the land of this city. They said from 7 miles, you could see the Acropolis. You could see the necropolis. You could see this, and it was just death all over the place, but they celebrated that. And so this church not only was drawn to death in the natural, but also this church was drawn to death in the supernatural as well. And the Bible says this in Revelations 3, 1 through 6, to the angel of the church of Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know in what time I will come to you. Verse 4, yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of the person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It always ends in whoever has ears, let him hear. And what this means is this, is that when God is speaking, he demands a response. And the response from this church should be to wake up. Wake up from your spiritual apathy. Wake up from your spiritual complacency. Wake up from the things that have kept you from worshiping and praising God like you should be. Wake up. The knock on this church was not only the spiritual side of being dead, but they began to live in the past. They loved the glory days. Anybody like talking about the glory days? Oh, back in the 80s, we wore this, and in the 90s, we had that. Oh, yeah, in 2000, we did this. But you know what? You can't live off the old glory. You have to live off the right now. The other thing that they were known for also is this city's only been attacked twice, and the two times that it was attacked, it was broken into because the watchman fell asleep on the wall. And there's something about being a watchman or a watchwoman, because you have to know what's coming. And here it is, as they fell asleep, they didn't even know they were being cooked spiritually. Anybody know the old phrase of, you could put a turtle in a pot and just turn the water up a little bit, and he doesn't even know that he's getting ready to get cooked. And as that water's being turned up, that turtle just, oh, this is great, man. It went from a cold bath to a warm bath. Oh, this is amazing. And that's how it is in society. We're just walking around, and we don't know what's going on around us, and we're just getting cooked. And it's time for you and I to wake up, to know what's going on around us, to be able to perceive and to understand what's ahead. The Bible says this in Ephesians 5:14. It says, for this reason says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Not from death, from a spiritual death, awake up. Wake up and read your Bible. Wake up in prayer. Wake up and get in that connect group. Wake up and get in connections course. Wake up. Why is it that it's important to be alive and be awake? Because you never know if a storm is coming. You never know when the storm is coming. And if you're not awake, you're going to get knocked down. You're going to be pummeled. You're going to be pushed to the side. And that thief is going to come steal, kill, and destroy that thing that you fought so hard to hold on to. You must be awake. You must be awake. I played in a profession before I got on this stage and began to preach the gospel. And if you fell asleep, you were fined. And it was non-negotiable, and it was a lot of money. It had a bunch of zeros behind it. So if you were in a meeting and you were tired and you fell asleep, it was ching, ching, the money's gone. And we would fight. Why are you taking my money? That's not right. I'm tired. I had a long night. Da, 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 da. They said this, when you fall asleep, it's not just about you. It's about the whole. And as a church, when we fall asleep, it's not just about us, it's about the whole. See, this city needs the church. The church should be out in the four walls. The church should be in politics. The church should be in fashion. The church should be in education. The church should be out there doing great things for society, but we're asleep. The church should be forefront when it comes to marriage and family, but we're asleep. The church should be in arts and entertainment, but we're asleep. And we're allowing society to dictate the pace of life when we should be the life givers. Oh, church, are you awake this morning? Are you too falling asleep? Have you too fallen asleep and are falling asleep on the job? God is speaking to you and I to awake and to arise. Sometimes we get comfortable, and being comfortable is a bad place to be in the kingdom. Comfortable. Man, I can flip on the TV and I can watch the sermon. I don't need to go to church. Yes, you need to be in the house of God, because you can't get a replay, or you can't get the presence of God the way you get it when you come into the house of God. So you need to show up. You get comfortable. Man, let me just keep the slippers on. Man, I got my nice cup of coffee, my chai tea latte. I'm doing my thing, baby. I don't need to go to church. You need to be in the house of God. There's something about seeing people, because let me tell you something. You can hide out there, but when you come into the house of God and somebody's looking in your eyes, face to face, man to man, woman to woman, sometimes you can be with people and they just know. You got any friends like that just know? Something ain't right. I have men that can look me in the eye when I walk in the house of God, and the first thing they're going to look at me and they're going to say, something ain't right. What's wrong, man? Talk to me. And I can't hide from that. I invite that. Why? Because I want to be spiritually alive. I want to show them that I'm awake. Yeah, I got a lot going on back at the house, and maybe some things are happening, but I'm spiritually alive. I'm here. I'm ready to get in the game. Put me in the game, coach. Are you alive today? Sometimes we get complacent. And complacency is a bad spot to be in as well. Because when you get complacent, oh, yeah, I've read that. Oh, yeah, I know that song. Oh, yeah, I've been there before. Yeah, I know when to raise my hands. I know when to sit down. I know when to say hallelujah. I know when to say praise God. Oh, I know. I'm just good. But when you get complacent, that's when that thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and to take what you've built so hard to keep and fight for. The next thing is fearful. this church was fearful. And what I mean by fearful, I mean that they were afraid to serve the Lord. They were afraid of being different. See, this church got complacent and they got familiar with their surroundings. Because when you serve the Lord, there's going to be persecution. There's going to be an onslaught. You know, that thing that Pastor Kyle was talking about up here, that stuff is real. God doesn't want him taking his, or the enemy doesn't want him taking his daughter to the conference to get the word of the Lord, to be inspired, to go do something great on her college campus. No, let me break that car down. Let him keep him from moving. See, the enemy is always trying to get in front of us to slow us down and to push things back. And persecution is real. But I'm going to ask you this morning. Are you more afraid of people or are you more afraid of God? Y'all quiet today. Y'all more afraid of people or are you more afraid of God? See, I fear the Lord. And when the Lord asks me to do something, I got to move. I got to do what he's calling me to do. When he says, Shino, I need you to speak, I got to speak. When he says, man, something's not right in an environment, I got to speak up and say something about that. I can't be shy. I can't be timid. Just like these people were, because they've gotten so comfortable and complacent. Now they're more looking like the outside instead of being what they need to be on the inside. Are you afraid? Played in a profession, man, they can smell fear a mile away. If you came in that room and you were scared, they would kick you out. You can't play. You can't be here. Men, are you afraid? Are you afraid to stand up in your workplace when they're talking bad about women? That's somebody's wife. That's somebody's daughter they're talking about. You just sitting there, ha, ha, that's funny. No, it's not funny. That could be your wife they're talking about. That could be your daughter they're talking about. Stand up. When you see something going on out in the streets and women are walking around, it's Women's Month, so I'm going to preach women. I told Pastor Nathan, when our wives are up here, I was like, man, we're losing our jobs because our wives are going to take this church over. We're going to be back there watching from a distance. Men, when you're going to rise up and you see something going on in the subway, you just going to let them just keep on happening, or are you going to step in? See, we got into a society now. Instead of picking up a fist and throwing a blow, the first thing you reach for is your cell phone. Want to sit there and video it. You see Asian hate, you want to video it. Man, go in there and be a man of God and step in and help people. Yeah. Rise up and have a holy backbone and do something. It's time to turn society back where it needs to be. Lead and not follow. Yeah. 1 Chronicles 12:32 says this, for Issachar, men who understood the times. And this is where I want to get. You have to understand the times. If you're going to be a watchman or a watchwoman, you can't allow what's coming just to knock you out, to knock you down. You have to understand the times that Israel should be. Do 200 chiefs with all their relatives under them, their command. They said they understood the times. Do you and I understand the times as a church, or are we asleep? Pastor Nathan and I get to sit on a council here in the city with the mayor, with several other pastors in the city. And as we're around this table and they're talking about policies and things that are going on, we need to know what's going on in our city so that as a church we can act and move when things happen in our communities. But do you understand the times? Or are you just kind of like, well, you know, that's them over there. I'll let them take care of it. Or do you step into some things and make things happen? I got to know what's going on so I can take this gospel and use it to do some great things. Do you understand the times? I was back in Nashville this past Friday. We did a gala for Pastor James. He turned 50. And I have several friends back in Nashville, and my wife and I were able to sit down with a couple, and they were telling stories. I love stories. And he's telling me about, man, you know, reaching children, reaching the next generation. And I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm talking about understanding the times. See, if you're going to reach the next generation, you got to understand what's going on in their life. You got to understand their culture. See, if it's not on Instagram, it's not real to them. If it's not on Instagram, it's not real to them. So I can come and say all the stuff I want, but if it's on here, they're going to believe it. And so here I am and listen to this story. And he says, you know, I had this kid I met and he was moving the masses. And he was this guy that did raves. And man, he had 300, 400 students that would come. See, these kids wouldn't go to church, but they'd go to this rave. And so he connected with him because my friend owns this facility. And it holds about 2,000 people. And he says, look, this is what I'll make a deal with you. If you can get kids into my building, I'll let you use it for free because the guy was looking for a venue because his thing was blowing up. And he said this, but only thing I ask is that the end of your rave, you allow me to preach the gospel. Guy's like, oh, yeah, absolutely, we'll do it. So he turned to his partner and he said, this is what we're going to do. It's a true story. When they come up to share the gospel, we're going to tell all of our people to leave. Okay, that's what we're going to do. So this DJ comes in. And this DJ is doing his thing, and the place, they're bouncing, and y'all, you know, the kids are coming in, and it's all walks of life. Kids that will never step foot in the church, but they'll come to this rave. Guy gets up and he shares. And he says this right before he's getting ready to share his testimony. He preaches everything, does what he has to do, tells a story, and the first person that got saved was the kid that was telling everybody to leave at the end of the rave. Now, what do I mean by understanding the times? And so this kid gets right with the Lord, and now all of a sudden, he's still doing these raves, and all these kids are coming. Now you got 300 to 400 kids getting born again every Friday night downtown Nashville. Do we understand the times? Are you willing to be different in order to reach the next generation? Are you willing to kind of, you know, humble ourselves and say, I don't know everything, but I'm willing to come in and help them do what needs to be done so we can reach them? Are you understand the times? Understand the times. I had this funny story I just wanted to share. Y'all remember when Sinatra was here and we were worshiping the Lord, the 9/11 story? It was amazing. People read Sinatra, Waymaker, miracle worker, all promise. Everybody was doing, we were just going. And all of a sudden, Pastor Jim LaFoon comes up behind him and he says this behind Sinatra, and he begins to prophesy the word. This church is going to multiply. It's going to be thousands of, you know, he just begins to tell us all this, get ready to happen. He says, oh, by the way, another shaking is coming to the city. And people, bring Sinatra back, a Waymaker, weird miracle. I'm like, no, stop. Let's go back to what he just said. A shaking is coming to the city. Did anybody pick up on that? We've been shook for the last 2 to 3 years. I don't need another shaking. Can we understand the times? And so what we're doing here at Every Nation New York City is we're helping you get ready for that shaking. Because what can be shaken on the outside also can be shaken on the inside, your faith. And you're going to have to learn to stand on the promises of God. You're going to have to be able to move forward no matter what. You're not going to be able to quit and give up. You're going to have to learn to pray more than 40 days. You're going to have to learn to pray with people, pray for people. You're going to have to stand on the promises of God if you're going to make it through this storm that's coming. You have to be a watchman or watchwoman on the wall. I can't remember the point I was trying to make. Oh, the point I wanted to make was that you need to acknowledge that you've fallen asleep. First thing we got to do is when the things are dead, you got to acknowledge that you've fallen asleep. And why do I say this? Is because that's where it all starts. Man, I've been asleep, Pastor. I haven't read the way I'm supposed to read. I haven't prayed the way I'm supposed to pray. I haven't been the husband, the father. I haven't been the daughter, the son. I haven't been who I'm supposed to be in Christ. I acknowledge that I'm falling asleep. See, another knock on this church is that they were prideful. And see, when pride comes shame, pride comes destruction. And God was trying to get their attention. You need to wake up because you can't go back. And my second point is live off the glory days. You can't live off old manna. You can't live off the old glory. Now, here in this church, we respect those that have gone before us. And what do I mean by that? In order to have a seat at the table, we have to respect the ones that built it. And so me and Pastor Nathan and Pastor Kaz and our spouses and this team, we have an opportunity to sit at the table because somebody built it. So we have to honor them. But what we can't do, I can't go back to the Lamb's Theater and live off that glory. I can't go back to Park West and live off the glory. I can't go off the AMC on the east side and live off that glory. I can't go down to the night service in the PM and live off that glory. I have to live off of what's going on right now. I have to live off of what's going on right now. And God is doing this right here. It says this in Haggai 2:9, the glory of this house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. See, the last thing is good, but there's something, like the kids say, is going to be gooder. There's more things that are coming, better days ahead. We can't go back and, well, you know, back then it was like this and like that. No, we have to live off of the right now. What is God doing right now? See, right now we have an illusionist upstairs. Why is that? Because we have to understand the times. Why is it important to understand the times? Because our children are confused on where is the real power. And so we have to bring things into the house like this to show them it's all an illusion. You have to understand there's real power, power that can change your life, power that can change your friends, power that can change your family. There's real power. God's doing a new thing. But will you allow God to do that new thing? Will you allow him to come in to change your life, to make things new, make things different? I played for a team in college, and, you know, there was a year where we were undefeated. That means we never lost a game. Oh, we was the stuff. It was like a traveling circus. Everywhere we went, man, cameras, ESPN, you know, Fox News. You got all these people just following you around. We're the stuff. And, you know, we got to walk around best hotels and all this stuff, and we're winning all these games. At the end of the year, we win the trophy, and all of a sudden, next year comes around. And all those guys that played graduated. And we thought that we could take what they did last year and bring it into the next year. And so we go out on the team. We think we're tough. And, hey, we're going to play against you. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. And all of a sudden, we just got beat down. And all of a sudden, man, we looked at it. What happened? And you know what they said? You can't live off of what you did last year. You got to focus on what you got this year. And what it is this church was living off of what they've done in the past years. Oh, back then we was this and this and that. But you know what? God is like, that is the past. We're talking about the right now. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. Church, it's time for you and I to wake up. We cannot sleep on the watch. We have to wake up. Wake up and be the mothers that we're called to be. Our daughters need us, them right now. They need you. They need some God-fearing mamas. I had a praying mama. I'm telling you right now, if you got a praying mama, it's over. Just give up right now. I ran. I tried to hide. I'm not, my mom called heaven down. Oh, you gonna, boy, blah, 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 and just praying over me. You know what? It's over. Give up. You got a praying mama. And we need some praying mothers to rise up. We need some praying mothers that are afraid, not afraid to dress a certain way. Can I preach today? That are not afraid to put on some nice clothes and look like a little woman of God. And it's okay not to have this hanging out and that hanging out and acting a certain way. It's okay to be pure. It's okay to be holy. It's okay to be different. See, this church, there was no difference from the outside to the inside. And that's what Jesus was saying. You guys got to be different. You got to be different. It's okay, men, to put a suit on and a tie, and it's okay to look nice, and it's okay to open the door for a woman. It's okay to say yes and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. It's okay to be different. First time I did that up here, this woman looked at me, was like, what are you doing? What are you holding the door for me? It's like, man, that's what a man's supposed to do. I'm supposed to open the door. That's what my mama told me. If I didn't do it, she'd hit me in the head. So I'm opening the door. But what happens sometimes is you're in a society now where people say, I don't need no help. I got this. I blah, blah, blah. Can a man be a man around here? Is it okay to serve? It's okay to come up here and have a little bit of chivalry around here. It's okay. It's okay. All right, maybe not. Okay, I'll just keep preaching to myself. Repent for living off old manner. Isaiah 43:18-19, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do not perceive it. I'm making it a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. New thing. It's okay. God is doing a new thing. And when God wants to do a new thing, you make room for God to do that new thing. You say, Lord, whatever you want to do, have your way. Not my will, but your will. Not my desires, but your desires. However you want to do it, you do it. Because I know your way is going to be way better than my way. And this is the other thing that I don't want to say is this, is I'm closing. And you know there's a difference between closing and trying to close. The last point I want to make is this, is three. Get around people of faith. See, in this church, there was a remnant. And see, in the other churches, it was a handful of people that were doing bad. And God was dealing with that people. But this whole entire church was soiled. This whole entire church was in trouble. But there was a handful. And because of that handful, God was merciful. Man, I'm going to allow them to make it through. But you got to wake up. You got to strengthen yourself. You got to come out of this foolishness and be the men and women of God that you've been created to be. You got to be how God told it to from the very beginning with Paul. Paul came in and preached the word of God. He preached lordship. He preached the things that you need, and you need to go back to the beginning of that. And these people held to that faith. They held to that doctrine, and there was nothing stained on them. And God said, because of them, you got hope. And I'm going to tell you, this third point I'm making is this. You better get around some people of faith, and you better get around some people of conviction. Because if you don't get around those people, whatever is around you, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this, bad company corrupts good morals. You can be a good man, you can be a good woman, but if you get around the wrong people, they're going to tear you down. Get around people of conviction, people of faith. Get around people that don't care what people say or what people think. So many people in society are tired of the fake. You got fake news. You remember when the Ukraine war first started and they had this jet flying all over and people were going nuts, you know, on Instagram, social media. I can't believe this. This is an ace pilot. Man, this is Maverick in the flesh. You know, this is Top Gun all over again. People are going nuts. Oh, this guy's amazing. Flying around, shooting down all these Russian MiGs, and all of a sudden it comes out on fact check. That's a video game. Somebody's posting a video game. But we as a society, we're all into it, but it was fake. And then you got people going down here, walking around with these purses from Canal Street. Men, don't you bring no purse from no Canal Street. Because if it didn't come from Bergdorf or Saks Fifth, we're going to have some problems in the house. Women hate fake. And men, let me tell you something. Women, let me tell you something too. I'm going. If I'm going to be here, I'm going to be all the way here today. Fake hair, fake nails, fake this, fake that. Dude come home, be like, man, I didn't sign up for this fake. Baby, you fake, what happened? False advertising right there on the public. But you know who hates fake the most? Is Jesus. Oh, he can't stand the fake. Either before me or against me. But if you're lukewarm, I'm gonna spew you out. Jesus hates the fake. And I'm gonna tell you right now, his eyes roam to and fro. He knows the difference from the real and the fake. He knows who's real and who ain't. He knows who's about his business and who's not. He knows who's after the hand and not the face. See, it's time for us to go from the hand. Oh, God, I want the blessing instead of getting to know the blesser. And it's time for you and I to go to the next level and push away from that and say, Lord, I want to know you more. I want to live for you more. I want to be like you more. I want more of you and less of me. And I don't want to be like the world, but I want to be like you created me to be. So many people. And I cannot stand up here as a man of God and not preach this way without myself getting convicted, because my wife knows me and my children know me. And they're probably watching on TV right now, so I'm going to get in trouble. But this is what I'm going to say. Is that my kids, oh, they know they daddy. Oh, yeah, they right there watching. Oh, daddy, you get up here and you preach Jesus. And you holler and you sweat and you do your thing. But when you come home, are you living what you preach? And our kids are quick to call us on the carpet if I don't live what I preach. And so my kids, you know, they're teen, you know, they're young adults. And, you know, they kind of like to do stuff the worldly way when they get into conflict. And they don't like coming to their daddy because their daddy's going to be like, what does the Bible say? No, daddy, we're going to do it this. No, what does the Bible say? Because we can't call ourselves Christians and not be Christ-like. And I'm here to tell you, wake up. Every nation, New York City, wake up. Stop faking the funk. If you ain't right, get right. And the last verse says this remnant of people. Their names are not going to be blotted out because they understand that justification by faith. They get it. They understand. In order to be in the kingdom, you must be born again. And when you're born again, something inside changes you. You change from the inside out. You don't look the same way. You don't act the same way. You don't talk the same way. Something is different. And it says that he said, I will erase their names from the book of life. And what this means is not being erased from the book of life. It's saying this: when you die, your name ain't going to be erased out of the book of life. Your spirit may, your flesh may die, but your spirit will spend eternity with me. And that's the hope that we have. The game's not over. This ain't the end all be all. We got a place to go and a place to be one day. But while we're here, let's make a difference.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.